If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Also, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis being nicknamed the law firm is one of my favorite nicknames of all time.
You know what Derek Blaylock's nickname was?
No.
He didn't have one.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
For a couple months in there, people kept telling me, hey, college basketball is going on. Hey, college basketball season started. Hey, are you even paying attention right now? There's college basketball happening. And it just kind of was one in one ear, out the other for, well, I mean, all of that time. Pretty much until, I'll say, this week, maybe about halfway through last week, I realized, did you guys know there was college basketball going on this whole time? During football season. Why were they playing college basketball during football season? I'm hoping that Scott Chasen of 24/7 Sports, more specifically Kansas.247sports.com, or you can go straight there, fog.net. I'm hoping Scott will explain really just sort of this scheduling mishap. Scott, why is it that KU basketball and really all college basketball started while the Chiefs were still actively playing NFL football?
Well, I'm going to ignore that question and instead tell you about something you unintentionally, hilariously just did, which is, when you played the intro, I was wondering what intro was going to play because it's been forever since I've been on this show.
True.
Very recently, I started a conversation over DM. Someone reached out to me, a former Kansas City Chiefs running back. And I was enjoying the conversation and learning about one of his children who is in eighth grade and is a football prospect. And we had a really great conversation. And I came away thinking, wow, what a nice man. What a wonderful man. And when the intro to this show started playing and we talked about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, I remembered thinking, oh, yeah, I made fun of someone and basically said he was irrelevant. That's why he didn't have a nickname. I wonder who that was. And, you know, Derek, if you happen to be listening to this because you see it on my Twitter, I do apologize.
Oh, no! Wow!
That's
yeah, cool. That's real, by the way. You can't make that up. This conversation that we had happened like a week ago. So not great, but, yeah, he's got a really talented son, though.
And seems like a very pleasant person. What's crazy was what was happening as you were telling that story, as I was thinking, all right, former Chiefs running backs with the son in eighth grade, I believe you said. All right, trying to take, now I wonder who that is. Didn't even register that we may have brought that all the way back home by accident. Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, scheduling, I don't know. They decided they wanted to do shooty hoops or whatever it's called.
Shooty hoops. No, that's jarring. Well, listen, I mean, you're the only one that's ever slandered the good name of Derek Blaylock on this show, so I'm not afraid.
I like Derek Blaylock. I thought Derek Blaylock, I mean, you may remember, I mean, he had four rushing touchdowns in a game against the Falcons. I mean, the dude was exceptional. It was one of the best games I ever remember watching, like, growing up. Pretty sure the Chiefs won like 56-10. So when we were talking, I was like, wow, this is exciting. This is great. Completely stored, you know, I guess I just blocked out the part on your show from memory. And seriously, as that was unfolding and you know what they called, and I was like, don't say Derek Blaylock. Like, please say any other running back. And it was like, you know what they called? Derek Blaylock. And I was like, done it again. I hate when this happens.
I think the only path forward for you is to get Derek Blaylock a retroactive nickname so that liner is simply no longer factually accurate and we're never allowed to play it.
And
again.
Then I put it in my retired liners folder.
Yeah, that's right. We have a whole folder of liners that cannot be played for one reason or another. And if you can get Derek Blaylock a universally accepted nickname, we'll move that one over for you.
Wait, I have a better idea. Why don't we just redo this lineup, the liner, right now?
Okay, sure.
And, like, let me come up with another running back really quick.
Yeah,
I've got it.
Pick one that might end up in your DMs in about, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years, whenever that was from. Okay. No, we're going to go ahead and we'll pick up right here. Three, you're going to go on one, Scott. 3, 2, 1.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Now there's the part where you talk, Scott.
Now, Scott, you lead off that liner, actually.
Do I go first?
Yeah. It just starts. Do you know what they called Derek Blaylock? But now it's something else.
This
wait,
is
no,
almost...
No, you have to... You have to start with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. You have to mention that you love it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, sorry. Okay. You know what? That's on me. That's all right. Tap my chest, hand up in the air. Go ahead, Beards.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I always think about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, that former running back. Boy, I love his nickname. They called him the law firm. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. It sounds like a law firm, Scott.
Oh, that's hilarious. Hey, by the way, you know what they call Derek Blaylock? Oh, no, I did it again.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
And scene. You can just fade the music out, Beards. Yeah, all right, well, perfect. Listen, you almost had it. We'll try again next time we have you on. We'll try again.
I appreciate that.
Come up with another running back that has that you will spurn in some way. Boy, I hope he knows that liner exists. I guess I can DM Derek Blaylock. I mean, there's no rule that says I can't be like, hey, I know you've recently been in touch with a certain Scott Chasen. Here's what he said about you before he was a source, before you were a source to him. You think that would work?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You could reach out. He seems like a nice guy.
I'm gonna follow Derek Blaylock.
Have liked, do like, and will like Derek Blaylock. I think he's fantastic.
Just didn't have a nickname.
Not worthy of a nickname.
Just didn't have a nickname. That's all. I never had a nickname.
That's not true.
Yeah, no, I actually did have nicknames. But
rattle off some of your nicknames for yourself, and then I'll ask you a KU question, and we'll do it'll be the whole show. We'll do great.
I had the most boring nicknames ever. I think two come to mind. Actually three. One was kind of funny. It was like a teaching thing. My dad and I were teaching a bunch of young people, and my dad pretended he didn't know who I was. That was great for the self-esteem. And the kids were like, no, it's Scott, your son. And he was like, Scott, your son. So that somehow became a nickname. In high school, a kid told me I looked like Todd. So I was like, oh, that's my nickname. So I went by Todd in one class randomly. That's not a joke. That's a real thing that happened. And then a coach that I had, I was a manager my senior year when I moved high schools. To this day, I am not sure if he ever knew my name was Scott Chasen, because he called me Scotty Chase, which sounds like a nickname, but it's like a very specific thing.
Yeah.
And he gave me a book, Tim Tebow's book, and he wrote a nice little note for me. I really appreciate it. He's a very great man. The coach, that
Tim
is.
Tim Tebow, you mean, yeah.
No, he wrote that, and I'm pretty sure he wrote Scotty Chase in the inscription. And I was like, that was the moment where I was like, huh, like that's a lot of letters to go out of your way to write. So I don't know. I think those were probably the big three.
I think that if you would have decided in that moment that your professional name is going to be Scotty Chase, I don't know by what order of magnitude, but I think you could only be more successful. Like, I think you would have been on the program today instead of on this show.
What about Todd Chasen?
Todd Chasen not as dynamic.
I do love the visual, yeah, though, of just you in class one day and them doing roll call and just Scott Chasen, and then you just hear, I go by Todd.
Yeah, right. Please call me Todd.
Todd Chasen's an accountant, though. Todd Chasen has a much more boring life. There is nothing exciting about, like, it's actually all a spectrum, right? Scotty Chase is like what happened if I had found, like, cocaine in high school.
Yes.
Scott Chasen is the current variation of me.
Yes.
And, like, Todd Chasen has made a very nice life for himself.
Yep.
He, you know, got a couple of degrees. He settled down. He owns a house. It sounds like he has a very pleasant life.
Yeah.
And a Honda Accord.
Listen, as someone who has been shopping for a Honda Accord now for a couple of months, Beards, I don't really like how targeted that was. That felt hateful. I think you're right that there's a spectrum there, and Todd Chasen is he goes back as an undercover cop to try to bust Scotty Chase in high school.
Yeah, Todd Chasen goes camping. But, he, you know, when they get out there, he's really not that comfortable,
yes,
so he checks the family into a hotel.
I don't remember the name of the dad from Jimmy Neutron, but for me, it's now Todd Chasen.
What percent of people our age do you think do remember the name of the dad from Jimmy Neutron?
I'm looking it up. Hang on.
I bet his last name was Neutron and not Chasen. What was his first name, though? I don't know. I still have the friends, but this was in the past. I was going to say I had a friend. He's fine. But a friend of mine and his wife dressed up as the parents from Jimmy Neutron for Halloween, and he just walked around with, like, a carved duck, and it was incredible. It's still incredible to this day. I bet his name is Todd. Go ahead, Beards.
It is Hugh.
Oh, I remember that, actually. I'm shocked that I do remember that now that you said it.
If his name was Todd, it would have been... Here's the thing. We forgot his name, and that feels like the whole point. It's like how in Calvin and Hobbes, the mom and dad never have an actual name, like, in place. They're just mom and dad. Hugh and Todd, are, you know, they just kind of line up that same way.
Yeah, Hugh's a little more exciting, a little flashier, but, it, you know, they're buddies.
Is Todd short for something? It feels like Todd is like Rick, you know? It's short for Richard.
Toddathan?
Toddly? Probably not.
Toddsworth was the name that came to mind.
That's the grandpa mushroom in Mario. Toddsworth.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be clear, it's not. Like, that name definitely popped into my head. Like, I was like, oh yeah, it could be that.
The name originated from Middle English, where it means fox.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a ton of famous Todds. I'm on famousbirthdays.com, which has gotten me through a couple of shows now. I'm still talking, Beards, so if I could just finish my sentence, and then you can go.
Todd Blackledge.
There's Todd from The Fox and the Hound. Who was the fox?
Todd.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's derived from the word fox. Is that true?
Yeah.
Todd Gurley, the rare running back Todd.
Todd Blackledge.
And really, it's a pretty loose list of Todds. Todd Helton.
Wasn't there a Todd on Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Oh, Todd Haley. How could we forget Todd Haley? Number 37 on famousbirthdays.com for
Todd
people
Bowles.
Named Todd. Todd Bowles, also in sports.
Now, do they have to be a Todd, or can they be a Toddsworth?
Let's see if I can find most famous Toddsworth.
Is there a Toddsworth?
I bet there's at least one.
I'm of course joking.
There's at least one. I'm gonna find one eventually. There is a DJ named Toddsworth. I found his Facebook fan page. There is no information. It just says Toddsworth DJ in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I'd like to imagine that guy and, like, DJ Khaled were, like, at a DJ naming convention together, and they were both fighting over Toddsworth. And then finally DJ Khaled was like, all right, I'll take Khaled, like, whatever. And then, you know, that guy just regrets it so much.
There is an active Twitter account, at Mr. Toddsworth. Doesn't seem to be anyone particularly famous, probably not their given name, but they're running with it. This has been, I was worried that we weren't going to have sort of just a fun, quippy way to sort of kick off the segment. So I was going to just throw it to you and let you kind of decide where we went. And now we've ended up on Toddsworth, and I feel like I really had nothing to worry about.
Yeah. That's why you should have me on way more often.
We really should, and that was sort of like the whole bit, because we talked to Nick Schwert last week, and I did have a lot of guilt about having Nick on before having you on in kind of this post-Chiefs week world. The truth of the matter is that I don't respect Nick's time nearly as much as I respect yours. I know Nick is sort of just a talking head. I know you're a professional, like Jason.
Hopefully this doesn't offend you, as I accidentally no-sell a joke that was hilarious. I actually was on Nick's show earlier today, too, so I guess for people who want a little more structure in their sports conversation, that's an option.
Yeah, the structured discipline of Nick Schwert is the reason that I tune in to Rock Chalk Sports Talk every day.
I thought you'd appreciate that. I was glad you picked up on that because I was legitimately worried. I was like, that kind of sounds mean if you don't get the joke.
No.
But I'm glad you picked up on it.
Yeah, it's basically like listening to the Max Kellerman show. It's just sports topic after sports topic. Very straight edge.
We spent 20 minutes once with Nick creating a reality TV show based around farm animals.
That's true. We called, I believe, and it was hosted by Norman McDonald.
Yes.
That's the other thing that I remember.
Norman McDonald's.
I think it's called, I think it was called Norm McDonald Has a Farm.
Yes, Norm McDonald Has a Farm. Yes. Yes.
He was either just getting COVID or was just getting on the other side of COVID.
He was just on the other side of it.
He was not far
enough.
Norm
McDonald or Nick?
No, Nick. We were talking about
maybe Norm McDonald also.
That's true.
But Nick.
When we were talking to Nick, Nick was just on the other side of COVID, but not nearly far enough because of how our conversation went. But the show concept ended up being Norm McDonald has a farm, a reality TV show for animals.
You know what Norm McDonald is kind of the classic example of? He's like, I have never seen a better case of a person who in doses is so excellent. But it's like that principle that if you get promoted too high, like your world comes crashing down, because like everyone thinks Norm McDonald is funny, but then you like actually watch like a little bit too much of him and you're like, I don't know about this. He had a sports show and like it was legitimately okay. I watched an episode and then I watched another episode and I was like, oh no, this is just the same thing every single week. It's not very funny.
Did he have a short stint on Monday Night Football?
No, you're thinking of the other, what was his name? He was also a Saturday Night Live weekend update anchor. He is a comedian. I'll figure it out in a second.
I really thought Norm McDonald.
Another SNL comedian was on.
But he was, so like Norm McDonald, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name now. They did the weekend update. Dennis Miller.
I was thinking of Dennis Miller.
I can't remember. Dennis Miller either replaced Norm McDonald or Norm McDonald replaced him on the Weekend Update. And then Dennis Miller like had a show on HBO and then was the for 1 year was Monday Night Football analyst.
Other than whenever the joke is that Norm McDonald's last name is the same last name as Old McDonald, I think you could swap Norm McDonald and Dennis Miller in to everything else we've said this segment and in most cases, and I'm not sure I would notice.
That's probably true.
That was really the joke that founded the show, though, from the sound of things.
No, honestly, it ended up being the payoff by accident. Like, it was, we had the show planned, like, well, who's hosting it? Norm McDonald, E-I-E-I-O, bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, you want to talk about payoff, by the way. You need to make sure, and don't do this next week because it'll be suspicious, but you need to wait like 10, 12, 15, 16, 17, you know, a bunch of weeks. I was trying to come up with bigger numbers, and then I started counting by one.
You started counting!
It would probably take a while to get to a much bigger number, but what you need to remember that there was a show when you went on Nick's show and you had to sneeze and you never did. And you can never lose sight of that because I'm talking like you're like, you know, 60, whatever, and he's still got his show, you've still got yours, and then you just sneeze and break out laughing and he will be so confused.
I like that. I like that a lot. I thought you were going to tell me about the time that I was on his show and I just started taking shots at boomers, and it was something Nintendo Switch related. I don't remember why, but it was the only time I feel like I've made Nick as uncomfortable on his show as he has made me on this one, which is important to me.
Dennis Miller beat out Rush Limbaugh for the Monday Night Football gig.
So let's talk about KU basketball, Scott, right this second. Let's talk about KU basketball starting right now, ideally starting about 15 seconds ago. As good a segue as we're going to possibly get. I have made it a joke out of like, oh, college basketball started, but also it has been so back burner for me throughout football season, just to the point of like, know what's happening, have a general feel for how everything's going, watching a good number of the games, but the Chiefs are running back to another Super Bowl, so that's priority one, and that's pretty much 3 hours of radio every night. What do you think that for other people that have been in a similar headspace, what have people missed about this Kansas season, specifically kind of in that middle chunk where there were some consecutive losses, there were some rough stretches, and a lot of us were waiting for the next Chiefs game?
Yeah, you know, it for those people, they're honestly kind of joining at the right time because I think a lot of people who have probably followed college basketball a little bit closer have kind of fallen victim to their own biases just over the way the season has gone. Kansas started off so well, even though Kentucky has, you know, actually gone into a tailspin since. Beating Kentucky on a neutral floor was a big deal. That's always a tough game, especially early in the year. Obviously, they didn't beat, you know, Jayhawks didn't beat Gonzaga. They came back. They get a good win over Creighton. They win at Texas Tech, which looks like a great win. They beat Oklahoma. They curb stomped West Virginia before Oscar Tshiebwe left that team. So Kansas was ranked, I believe, as high as number 3 and pretty legitimately looked that part. Then they went through the losing stretch. They lost 5 straight games on the road. They didn't have the cupcakes in between to gain some confidence back or break a losing skid. And, you know, by the way, Kansas has lost three in a row or three out of five before and still gone on to be a one or a two seed. So, you know, that happens in college basketball, but everything's a little more magnified this year. The schedule is more compact. Don't have as many cupcakes, non-conference games. You only play like eight instead of 14 or whatever. I don't have the exact number, but, you know, it's all smaller and more magnified. So, like, you went from one side of the spectrum, Kansas being ranked third, to the other, where Kansas was somehow unranked, which I say somehow because a lot of people, including Bill Self, said Kansas deserved to be unranked. Kansas played an Oklahoma State team as its first game as an unranked opponent. Mm-hmm. It was like a 7-point favorite. Mm-hmm. And so that tells you everything you need to know about which one of those teams, by the way, Oklahoma State was ranked 23rd, mm-hmm. like which one of those teams was actually a top 25 caliber team. So that's where I stand on Kansas. There are two elite teams in college basketball, Gonzaga and Baylor. Iowa's super interesting because they are the best offensive team in the country, but they do not defend anyone. And then there are like three or four really interesting teams after that, your Villanovas, your Houstons. Then it's everyone else. So there's like a top tier of two, then like three to four after that, and then everyone. And Kansas is in that everyone that can beat anyone kind of area, and they'll get their chance to prove it. The next three games are probably the biggest of the year and will go a long way into determining, you know, if they're going to be as high as a three seed potentially or as low as a seven or an eight seed, maybe even a nine.
Well, yeah, and so this next three-game stretch, it for me, gets even more interesting whenever, and you wrote about this, I saw up on fog.net, people can go check it out, that, I mean, they had this little cupcake stretch where they get the extremely rare back-to-back against Iowa State, home and on the road, and handled business both of those games, and then throttled K-State in a game that really just pinnacle of the sport of basketball, I would argue. but they get through those games, and they did the thing that they needed to do. I mean, there was some talk about this before that stretch of games that, like, hey, and obviously, beating Oklahoma State was a quality, legit win. But hey, go out there and blow out these cupcakes, you know, three games in a row, and then see where that sets you up for these three games at the end of the year. That's going to determine, like you said, the seeding and whatnot. Whenever you look ahead to specifically Texas Tech, but then the Texas and Baylor games after that, what are you looking for in those three games? How much will that determine what you actually believe this team to be?
Yeah, I mean, if Kansas is a legitimate contender for an Elite Eight, Final Four, postseason run, they have to go at least 2-1. And I wouldn't say they have to win any particular two of those games. I mean, Texas is playing a lot worse as of late. I think that's what happens when coaching catches up to you. You know, a lot of these teams weren't as good at the beginning of the season because they were working in new pieces and new talent. Well, Texas was, but Texas also returns like its top 10 players. So that's why Texas was really, really good to start the year, whereas these other teams, a lot of them have had to replace a lot of pieces and figure it out. And that's why you're seeing a lot of teams start to kind of hit a stride. Now, Kansas was good early in the year with some new pieces, kind of hit that bump. But now, again, you're seeing, you know, Bill Self change the defense and find ways to make Kansas better and better. Whereas a team like Texas, which, you know, not to dog on Shaka Smart, but this is, you know, Shaka Smart is the coach of Texas, and they've underperformed consistently with talent every single year he's been there. He's only been out of the first week in the NCAA tournament one time, and if his contract wasn't, you know, Texas with a dollar sign in front of it, he would have been fired already. So, like, you know, I think that's part of the reason why there's probably some belief that, you know, Kansas might be a little bit better than its very fine record. I mean, they're 10-5 or, you know, whatever it is. So that's that. You know, it's not a horrible slate given how loaded the Big 12 is. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you've got three games. Texas Tech is very good. You beat them at home. You know, you go play Texas, see what happens. And then, you know, you get to test yourself against Baylor. But even then, Baylor hasn't, you know, has had so many games canceled and postponed and for all, you know, any number of reasons. So, you know, it'll be tricky. I think the most interesting thing is Kansas gets like 10 days off at the end of the regular season if they don't have any games missed before the Big 12 tournament. And Bill Self said tonight on his Hawk Talk show that, you know, they're thinking about maybe they'd schedule someone, maybe they wouldn't. You know, who would that be? Would it be a good team? Would it be a bad team? Kind of sounds like he would actually want it to be a decent team. So, you know, I'm intrigued by that. I just think there's so much more to learn about Kansas. But what I know is Kansas isn't bad. Mm-hmm. Kansas was a team with a lot of quality wins, you know, a lot of quality losses. And somewhere in between being ranked three and being unranked, that's where Kansas is.
We mentioned having Nick Schwert on earlier, and one thing that he brought up last time that I thought was really interesting that I'd love to get your perspective on is how this season has been in large part about KU finding what its identity is. I'm guessing he actually stole this take from you because it was very eloquent for a Nick take. We had this conversation at the very beginning of the year where, you know, the questions you would ask to Bill Self about David McCormick and what does he need to be and who's going to lead this team in scoring and who's going to be this team's most important player and their best player and all of that. We've had this ebb and flow where I feel like standards have moved, the identity of this team has moved a little bit, or at the very least it hasn't fully found it. Expectations for guys like Marcus Garrett have seemed to evolve. What do you make of that sort of thesis statement from Nick and then where Kansas has gone and ultimately where they've left off at the end of this year in terms of what this team actually is?
Yeah, I mean, there's a quote. I don't know who said it, but it's, you know, like the more things change, the more they stay the same. That might not even be a quote. That might just be from a movie or something.
President Benjamin Franklin.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it really was.
Well, yeah. Okay. So, interesting. I don't even remember where I was going with that because I got so sidetracked by you telling me. No, I got it. Okay. Beginning of the year, before the season, I did a piece where I was like predicting Kansas's leading scores. And I did this throughout the course of like the preseason camp too. Because, you know, we get more information, we get quotes, we get things, and that colors your opinion. But the very first time I did it, I predicted Ochai Agbaji would lead the team in scoring and David McCormick would be second, or he was my second pick to lead the team. And what's funny is that's what it is. And, you know, I was also interested in this, and I talked about this with Nick at the time, but, you know, for all this talk about, like, you know, well, Kansas has to find its rotation and when's it going to settle into that, if you had asked me, based off the information that we had at the beginning of the year, what the rotation would be, I would have given you it exactly what it is now with the difference that Tyon Grant Foster is playing a lot less than I thought he would. But that also makes sense because, again, they didn't have the same preseason, non-conference, acclimation period. And so, you know, it makes sense. Things really don't change that much. But to your point and to, like, this whole conversation, I guess to Nick's point, like, this team has gone through so many different iterations because David McCormick was horrible to start the year in his first few games. He's been arguably the team's best player for the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks. And, you know, Jalen Wilson, who was the team's best player, he started struggling. Ochai Agbaji's shooting has struggled. Christian Brown has been inconsistent. So I think they are what they are. I think they're a team of a lot of good wings who can really get after you defensively when they're turned up, who need at times David McCormick to take pressure off the shooting, and at times need the shooting to take the pressure off David McCormick. I think the question becomes when or how can they identify what part of the game is working in-game, make those adjustments to play that way, because they've done that at times this year. You know, David McCormick has taken over late when he has it going, or vice versa. They've gone away from him when he hasn't. But, you know, I think this is just a team of pieces that its identity is going to be, you know, out-chemistrying, out-smarting, out-not quite executing because it's not a great execution team, but, you know, maybe knowing what its pieces are and finding a way to fit them together better than most. I don't know that that's a championship, you know, style or way of playing, but it does tell you they at least have the potential to, you know, really beat some talented teams when they, you know, figure out what they have going and play to it.
The phrase was apparently coined by French writer Jean-Baptiste Alphonse Carr. It was in French originally and then has been translated too loosely. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Did you lie or did you think you knew the answer to that question?
No, I lied because I said President Benjamin Franklin, and I was not sure if you caught why that might have been a red flag. And to be honest, I'm still not sure.
I didn't hear the word president. I thought you were just inserting a fact, and I was like, wow, that's actually interesting. And then I thought about it for a second, realized I was on the radio, and was like, oh, I need to continue speaking.
I have to answer the question here, legally speaking. Yeah, I understand. No, is that President Alexander Hamilton?
Second best president of all time.
Yeah, top two presidents for sure. This is very big picture, and so you can make it as big picture or as granular as you want. But what would you make of the job that Bill Self has done over the course of this year then? Because, you know, figuring out what it takes to get David McCormick to be now maybe this team's best player in stretches after the start that he had, and figuring out that this is a team that's just going to be him and a bunch of shooters that may or may not be able to shoot at that given time. Like, what, with the fact that this is is not the level of blue chip talent that we're used to seeing from KU, and also acknowledging that they're more talented than a enormous majority of college basketball teams. What kind of job do you think he's done this year?
You know, this is probably the least interesting answer I can give, but he's been at Kansas 18 seasons, and this is probably like his ninth best coaching job. Like, yeah. I don't think it's especially bad. I don't think it's especially, you know, incredible, but you know, at the same time, I'm sympathetic to a lot of coaches who have had to work in new pieces, mostly because, like, I think people have discounted, or maybe they haven't, maybe it's just not talked about enough, the mental health side of things for players, really being stuck inside, isolated, and then for a lot of them having to adapt to new situations, especially young players, without the benefit of being able to go see family or, you know, have people at games that can support them. And, you know, I think about it, how big a deal it was for Christmas that, you know, Bill Self said, hey, they're going to let the players see their families, and he acknowledged, he was like, this is not the safest decision, but mental health-wise, like, they got to have something. You know, they got to be able to look forward to something, and one player, you know, David McCormick didn't even go home because he didn't feel like it was a safe situation because of maybe a condition or someone that something had back home that he was afraid to put himself in that situation. So I think it's been very tricky. I think you've seen Bill Self probably enjoy coaching less than he ever has. I think he's actually been pretty open about that, just because there are so many frustrations and so many things that, you know, make it hard, make it difficult. And so, yeah, I mean, I think Bill Self has done an underrated coaching job from the perspective of he didn't really know what he had in Jalen Wilson. I mean, a lot of teams didn't know what they had in anyone because you show up after summer and you haven't, you know, seen your players, basically. Yeah. And he immediately kind of changed everything to really feature him. I mean, Jalen Wilson didn't start the second game of the season. So that tells you that they really didn't know his capability. They saw him playing well. They went to him. They scrapped the plan. David McCormick wasn't playing well. They went away from him. Now he is playing well. They've gone to him more. Even this last K-State game, you know, as long as I've watched Kansas, which, I mean, even goes back before my time covering the team, even before my time going to KU, the first possession of the game is almost always a post touch, you know, some misdirection to get the ball inside and a layup. And the Kansas State game was the first game I remember in a long time where they didn't do that. They ran a lob play that was like the big man post touch was actually the misdirection. And I thought it was so interesting that, like, that's an adjustment they're making. So I think Bill Self's done a lot of good things. At the same time, you know, he's also been a little bit stubborn, I think, at times with his lineups, his the way he sees people, but he's also had an incomplete roster because, you know, Bryce Thompson, the five-star freshman on the team, is, you know, he had a back injury, then he broke a finger, so he hasn't played a ton. So I just think it's a mix. I think it's a big mix of some good stuff, some bad stuff, and, you know, in the end, it'll probably just end up being a weird season for them. But, you know, who knows? If they go on a run in the postseason, I think a lot of people will say his ability to get this team to come together without, you know, that traditional one guy on the roster who's like a standout, you know, superstar freshman with NBA potential, you know, I think that would look really good for him.
Last thing that you can take wherever you want. What's the most interesting thing about this team, either from this point forward or that's already happened this season, that you don't feel like has gotten enough attention, that we haven't spent enough time talking about, that just interests you for any particular reason?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Which is what I say whenever I don't have a great answer.
Well, it's when you're stalling, and it's also because it could be a lazy question. And honestly, what it is I just trust your gauge for what's interesting about KU even more than I trust my own. So that, but it's also, but it also puts you in a bad spot because, boy, it's vague.
Yeah. Well, a couple things come to mind. The first is that if you chop like the first four games of the season away, which you can't do, but if you did, KU fans would feel so much differently about David McCormick. I'm not saying they'd love him. I'm not saying he'd be their favorite player. But boy, would they feel differently about him, and boy, would they feel differently about Jalen Wilson. You know, the two big games Jalen Wilson had against Kentucky and Creighton really, you know, elevated his stock, and the horrible start McCormick had against some very good teams. I mean, he starts the year against Gonzaga, one of the best big men in the country, and the second game is against a team that goes five guards. So, you know, he's a guy who had about as hard as matchups to start the year as anyone. And then again, you know, he's played so well for a long time and people still don't believe it. And it's like they don't believe it because of the way he started the year. I'm not saying he's dope or he's great or anything like that, but I do think he's become a very, very good player. And at the very least, he has become not the issue. Kansas isn't losing games because of David McCormick. Kansas is losing games because the shooters aren't making shots, or the defense isn't up to, you know, par, or the guards have a bunch of breakdowns, or, you know, they're losing games for a number of different reasons, but he really, like, he's played well and they've lost. He's also played poorly and they've won. I see very little correlation between him other than, you know, he has the capability to elevate the team's play when he's at his best. So I think that would be one. And number two is Jalen Wilson, because Jalen Wilson really hit that freshman wall similar to Ochai Agbaji in his kind of redshirt freshman year when he was redshirting and then had the you know, redshirt pulled. But the difference is, after a few games, Jalen Wilson is, like, back. And he had four straight double-doubles, I believe, going into the last game when he had 11-9. He becomes a really interesting piece for Kansas, because if you get Wilson and McCormick playing well together, then really all you need is someone making three-point shots with them, and Kansas goes to another level. So not saying Kansas is going to win its next three. I'm also not sure they're, you know, they might lose their next three, but for a team this late in the year, like, I truly believe these next three games are going to define, you know, who Kansas is, how good Kansas is, and maybe what expectations will be like going into the postseason.
So did you see what I did, where I jumped in, then I was sort of self-deprecating and stalled a little bit while you came up with an answer, and then you brought the absolute heat with that answer after the stalling. That's just a team game, right? That's a team sport. That's teamwork, and I feel like we nailed it.
Yep, and that's why they call you Derek Blaylock. I'm just kidding. It makes no sense whatsoever.
We'll figure out a nickname for him next time. Scott, always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again much more recently than we had last time. And, you know, enjoy this college basketball season that kicked off last night.
Thanks. Always glad to bully you into having me back on.
I mean, if the shoe fits. Scott Chasen of Fog.net, 24/7 Sports. Hold on, Beards. There you go. I had the buttons, finally. Follow him on Twitter, at Chasen Scott. Check out Fog.net. 24/7 Sports' KU site. Scott runs that whole deal and is excellent there. And he hung up on Beards. Now Beards is sad. Sorry, Beards. It was a real Derek Blaylock move of him. That's incredible. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about giving Derek Blaylock a new nickname or something else. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I love the idea of having a lottery tournament where teams are competing for draft picks, basically.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I would really watch that.
It would be more watched than whatever round of the playoffs it was going up against, as long as it wasn't the finals. I mean, like, let's say you got a boring Eastern and Western Conference final, but you've got Memphis versus New Orleans.
No, you're not including Phoenix in this. You're missing the team here.
Okay.
LeBron James Lakers going up against whoever.
Devin Booker.
Yeah, Devin Booker's sons for the rights to Zion.
Devin Booker has sons already? I know. Sorry.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This would be the segment that we could have had a very reasonable NBA conversation about, you know, the bad players in the Celtics not being all-stars. But we really jacked it all up earlier.
That hasn't been that good, but I wasn't going to say he was an all-star.
We could take a few comments at the moment also. I don't believe we've gotten our custom emotes through Twitch yet. I don't know how long that's supposed to take.
Yeah, I do not see them.
They're just definitely pending, and so they will be hopefully around before too terribly long. I'm very excited for those to get there whenever they do. Brad commented towards the beginning of the show, "You guys are awesome. Only way I get through the night. Thank you, guys. Plus, you guys know your crap. Thank you, Brad." It's a very nice comment that I'm just so unused to seeing on Facebook.
I don't know how you could listen to the first hour of the show and that we know what we're talking about.
It was before the first segment really got going down the rabbit hole that it did. So maybe Brad has revoked his compliment, but I really appreciated it. So that was nice. Also, somebody on Facebook whose name I don't have, but I think Beards responded to their comments. Maybe they can tell me. Maybe Beards can tell me. Christopher asked, "What's the chicken place you guys, mainly Beards, are always talking about? I moved recently back to Kansas City and I wanted to try it." I'm going to say this here as a radio show that does not have a chicken sponsor.
But damn it, we need one.
And listen, there are a handful of chicken places that Slim's brought us a big like buffet of food one day.
I missed that.
And yeah. It was wonderful. And so I am happy to give free love to Slim Chickens on this one. Because they're excellent, the food's incredible, and they've...
I had it
for
lunch today.
Oh, God, I would destroy some Slim Chickens
and
right
also,
now.
Those chocolate chip cookies are very good.
Oh!
It was so good today. I made the right choice.
I would just mess up some
Slims. First time
you
made
Slims.
The right choice today.
The one that counted.
Here's the thing, though, and this is... I'm happy to continue preaching this gospel. Slim Chickens is the goal, and this is why also I'm even like, I'm going to bring in some names we haven't brought up recently, because if someday we are sponsored by a chicken place, and it's not necessarily one of the ones you've heard us rage about, the love is still going to be absolutely genuine. I had Popeyes last night. Sandwich is unbelievable. We don't talk about Zaxby's as often here. They've got some very... The sandwich on the Texas toast with the buffalo and ranch on it.
Yeah, I forget what it's called, but that's always my go-to.
That sandwich is unreal. They have a bunch of excellent sides. Raising Cane's has like three items, but they're all perfect.
Yep.
They're all perfect at the thing that they do. The sauce is great. The fries are great. The chicken's great.
The toast. I say that the toast is like there. Yeah. That like the Cane's sauce is great. The chicken is great.
Yeah.
The toast is just...
I think it's the best toast.
It's the best. Like if we're creating the like the perfect, toast. You know, chicken place, it's Cane's toast.
Now that you say that. I think we've done this before.
Probably five times.
Yeah,
we'll talk about the Royals, with David Leske, in 10 minutes. Beards, go ahead and
get it.
Go ahead and get the music.
I'm getting it.
But
I need to just make this and put it into the system. But so that I don't have to search through my folder.
That's fine. I'll keep talking.
Yeah.
I'll stall for you. For me, Slim's is my all around number one overall draft pick or whatever. In terms of individual breakdowns of several different things, though, it's all good, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's all so good. We're going to have to decide here
what
our category is going to be.
Slim's new box that they like the chicken comes in.
Like the literal box.
Yeah, the
actual
box.
It is great.
It's a good box.
I'm going to say we got to go unanimous here because if we... Is that music a little loud to anybody?
Yeah,
it was a little loud. I was slowly fading it down. We're good now.
A little loud.
What are our categories going to be?
Chicken.
We go, well, hold on. We go strips.
Yeah, I think strips.
By the way, also, strips chicken in Olathe, really good.
I've only had it once, but it was pretty decent.
Strips, fries, sandwich, sauce, toast, dessert.
Sure.
I've actually never... I don't know if I've ever had dessert from any of the chicken places.
And I don't know if...
What about...
Cane's does?
I don't think that they do. What about, like, a wild card item? I'm gonna add a flex.
Okay, this works.
They could just be anything that fits there. Do we need to do a signature... Do we need to do a drink? Do we need to have a drink slot that's basically, like, our kicker? I'm gonna do a drink slot.
Sure, go ahead.
And we're all going to just have to decide.
I mean, I've only ever got, like, just Dr. Pepper from all
of
them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll save this one then. We've got all the ones you just mentioned. Did not mention Chick-fil-A, but they're a titan in the industry. KFC, did not mention, but they're also an industry leader.
They are maybe the most creative of the chicken places where, like...
KFC?
Because... KFC at one time literally had a chicken sandwich where the buns were chicken.
That's a great point.
Like KFC like
oh,
comes out. Yeah, like KFC like comes out with like...
Or what was that called?
Like I don't like again, I'm not and it's not even necessarily that
the double
of them
down.
Are good. Yeah,
that's
I think
what it was.
But they come out with the most like creative stuff where you're like, why would you think of this? And also I have to have it.
Every once in a while.
And then you suffer a heart attack. You know, it doesn't kill you.
But it comes close.
But you know.
Every once in a while, one of the blazed out Taco Bell chefs will accidentally walk into the wrong door at the KFC Taco Bell. He'll wander back into the KFC kitchen, and then all of a sudden, you've got chicken buns around some bacon.
Yeah.
I'm willing to say.
I remember having that, and oh man,
I did not try it.
I had.
I bet it was delicious.
The one that I had was enough like cholesterol for a year, and so it's like it was to me. It was a one time only thing. Like I don't even know if it should be like by law you should only be allowed to have it once.
I've also got sauces. I forgot to write down sauces in the original list. I want to try to go for the easiest shots here.
Yeah.
I worked at Chick-fil-A. The views of Chick-fil-A do not necessarily represent the views of Joshua Briscoe on Twitter at JB Briscoe. But I worked at Chick-fil-A for a while. I ate a lot of Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A's got some bangers. The spicy chicken sandwich from Popeyes has overtaken Chick-fil-A for me.
Yeah.
Do we feel okay about the Popeyes spicy chicken sandwich being our sandwich choice?
I'm guessing beers is also in this boat. I've actually still never had it.
God, it's so good.
I'm confident in saying that it is the best chicken sandwich.
If you guys don't want to put up a fight,
people
I'm
were
push
literally
it.
Stabbed for it. Like no other chicken sandwich in the history of chicken sandwiches have people been stabbed for.
The non-spicy also incredible. There's just something about it. We don't have that much time, so I'm gonna keep it moving. How do you feel about fries? Who's our fries leader? From the chicken, the chicken place fries leader.
Is it Cane's? Just because they're the most consistently good. Like I had Slim's today. Their fries were excellent today. They were really good. Some days they're not as good. Cane's though, usually pretty consistently, an 8.
I like Chick-fil-A's waffle fries.
Oh man, I was afraid you're gonna say that. You know whose fries I enjoyed last night? Popeyes' fries are actually quite good, my friends.
They're not bad.
They're also quite good.
It's been a long time since I've had them.
The thing about Cane's is it's pretty much a straight shot, kind of up and down. Look, put a pin in it. Where are we at on strips right now?
I've only had it once. I don't remember it that well.
No, the chicken strips.
Oh.
Like just, yeah.
If I say, boom, pick a chicken strip.
Slim's.
Okay. I'm willing to go Slim's chicken strips, Cane's fries.
Yep.
It's a 2-1 vote on fries, I guess. I'm fine with it, and we're also going to run out of time. Toast is Cane's, yes, unanimously?
Yeah.
What about sauce?
Oh, Slim's.
This has to be Slim's, yes. Right? Chick-fil-A sauce is outrageously good, but
Cane's sauce is great.
There's a selection, and they're all
Zaxby actually has my favorite of like that sauce type, right? Because Chick-fil-A's, Cane's sauce, Zaxby sauce are like they're all roughly the same, but Slim's has just got a billion of them.
I do remember the first time I introduced you, Josh, to Slim's was when we were working here one day, and I had gone to get it.
Yes,
and I brought it back. I think I brought you an order back or whatever. And
maybe.
I was like, here, have this. And I watched you dunked it in the barbecue sauce.
Oh, the spicy barbecue sauce is so good.
You paused.
The cayenne ranch.
And went, they're so good.
Oh.
Yeah, it's so
and
good.
And I was like, yeah, it's the best.
Yeah.
I wrote down sauce twice on this list. We're not going to worry about
it's
it.
It's both the variety
both of them are Slim's.
And the execution of them.
Dessert question. Anybody else give their desserts in a mason jar?
So I've never had dessert from
the
chicken places,
cookies
but
are awesome.
But like Slim's has like just from what I've seen the by far the biggest variety of desserts.
I'm gonna give it to Slim's because
default
because Chick-fil-A doesn't have their lemon pie anymore. That was lemon pie with like vanilla wafers, I believe. It was a banger.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I like to pitch for the flex. Do you guys ever get the bowls from Strips in Olathe?
No.
Never been
They've got the potato bowl thing, the famous bowl that KFC has, but I think Strips does it pretty significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's just my experience, that's not that great. What about drinks? What about lemonade?
Lemonade's good.
Yeah, I typically just obviously get the same thing. I would say, though, Cane's
Slim's
has
a great variety.
They also have Cherry Coke.
We can give it to Slim's. I'm okay with continuing to decorate Slim's with awards. I guess we have to talk about Royals baseball with David Leskey. We'll ask his favorite chicken place and then talk about baseball with him next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.